Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Powers.
And I'm Megan Francis. And you're listening to a special series from the Mom Hour podcast called Pandemic Perspectives.
In this series of episodes, we're talking to parents and people from around the world whose lives are affected by the COVID-19 global pandemic in a way that might not make it into your social media feeds quite as often.
You'll hear from families on the front lines experiencing an unprecedented time in a very specific way, and you'll hear what's challenging as well as what's hopeful. We can't wait to share their stories with you. Welcome to Pandemic Perspectives from the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, this is Sarah, and you're listening to Pandemic Perspectives on the Mom Hour. Today, I'm talking with Casey, a mom of three from Ohio. Casey, thank you so much for being here, and tell us about your family, including your kids' ages and what you do for a living.
Yeah, so I have three boys. I have a 5, almost 6-year-old, a 3, almost 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Oof, so been there.
Yeah, exhausting and so loud. We're actually getting ready to celebrate 2 quarantine birthdays. So we'll see how those go. They are not excited.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But so I have 3 boys. And then I actually work for an after school organization called After School All Stars. And we work to serve the most vulnerable populations in our states. And so here in Ohio, we currently serve students in Cleveland, Columbus, and Toledo. And so we work within the public schools so that the kids don't have to travel anywhere. And we keep them after school from 3 to 6. And that kind of gives their, you know, parents time to finish work and get home before the kids come home. And we serve them dinner. We do enrichment activities. We do literacy activities and health and fitness through a partnership with Ohio State. And so it's a really, really fun time for the kids. We have K through 8th graders. And so it's kind of a wide range. But, you know, we love it. They love it. We have college students who work with them. So they're really building relationships with positive mentors and positive role models, which is super exciting. And yeah.
That's awesome. And you are a program director. Is that what you said?
I am the program director for the state. Yeah.
What does that look like pre-quarantine, pre-COVID-19? What did your day-to-day look like? Are you interfacing with school sites or?
Yeah. So the day-to-day for me before the pandemic included visiting the school sites and essentially holding observations so that I could provide feedback to the frontline employees, the teachers, and the site coordinators or managers of the actual programs, and just give them ideas on ways to engage the students better, activities that might be more engaging for the students, behavior management ideas, and things of that nature. And now there's just none of that.
Right. Now there are no school sites. We're going to get into that in a minute. I'm just curious, did you come from a education background or nonprofit?
Yeah.
Or?
Yep. I have my master's in education. I spent 4 years teaching 8th grade. And so middle school is kind of where my heart lies, which is why I got involved with this organization, because the 3 to 6 is really the danger hours for those middle school students. And so if we can capture them in this after school setting, you know, we can help them to stay out of trouble. We can help them to stay safe and help them to kind of stay on the right path toward graduation.
Well, so now things are different because schools are closed. So I was going to ask just what are some of the biggest ways that your work and your life looks different, you know, than it did, say, a month ago?
Yeah, I mean, everything is so different, right? I have a kindergartner and a preschooler who would go to school and I would be left at home working with my 1-year-old, which was totally manageable. But working with a 5 and 3-year-old presents a whole new set of challenges. And, you know, I studied education for 6 years and I still don't at all feel prepared to teach my kindergartner the most basic skills.
Yeah.
So it's just balancing all of those things. You know, you never get to take off the mom hat or the teacher hat or the program director hat or the wife hat or the homemaker hat.
Yeah.
And so it's just trying to keep all of those balls up in the air at the same time. And it's hard. It's overwhelming. It's exhausting.
And on the program front, talk a little bit about what changes you have had to make. I mean, I would imagine there's no contingency plan for this probably. So what have you done? And you know, talk as much as you want about your program specifically, or maybe generally the challenges of programs like this and how you've moved online and all that.
Yeah. So I think starting generally, I think just something that has been so incredible is kind of seeing the mobilization of school staff and districts as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen teachers getting out there and packing up food because, you know, our students, especially the students that we serve, they get breakfast and lunch at school. They get dinner with us and they get a bedtime snack that we send them home with.
Wow.
And so, you know, we have teachers and our staff out there packing up and passing out meals. We have, you know, in Columbus, they are taking the Chromebook carts from their classrooms and distributing those to students because they don't have the access to technology.
Right.
We have districts who they're doing the Wi-Fi on the buses and driving around and staking out in communities so that families can access Wi-Fi. Yeah. And so it's just like seeing this incredible and immediate response from educators, I think just is so moving and just kind of shows like where their heart is. You know, I think teachers get a lot of backlash on their job being so simple and so easy. And I think we can all agree after homeschooling all of our kids that that is just not the case.
Yeah.
It's so challenging. And I mean, it's certainly rewarding and, you know, we get summers off and things like that, but just the willingness that they are, you know, just the things they're willing to do to engage the students and impact the students and help the students has been incredible. I know specifically with my organization, we immediately set to calling all of our families, which is about 50 to 60 per school site, and, you know, asking what they needed, connecting them with local resources. We used Amazon Prime to ship school supplies to some of their houses because they just didn't have like the basic things like crayons and scissors and pencils and things like that. And so we were able to do that. I spoke out or I put out a message on Facebook and collected books that people didn't need anymore, puzzles, games and things like that. And we just met at one of the school sites and families came and just loaded up their cars with supplies to use while they are away from schools. And I think even more challenging than the schools being out are the public libraries being out. You know, that's where my families get on the internet and that's where they're getting their news and that's where they're getting everything. And so for the libraries to be closed as well has really, you know, dramatically affected just their way of interacting with the world.
Do you have a sense for some of the childcare challenges in the communities that your program serves? Because I know, you know, from my place of extreme privilege, I know people are struggling with childcare with schools and programs being closed. But in those communities, I'm curious if you have a sense for what people are doing or what options there are. Because you guys obviously, school and you guys are the built-in childcare. So what are folks doing who, you know, who have essential workers in their households?
It's a lot of kids being left home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of older siblings, even, you know, not old enough, but older siblings being left responsible for the care of their siblings all day. And also it's a lot of, you know, what we're being told not to do, to, you know, drop the kids off with grandma and grandpa.
Right.
They don't have another option. And so you have to kind of balance out, like, you know, do I go to work so that I can pay my bills or do I stay home with my kids? And I think, you know, that's a decision that no one should have to make.
Right.
I know just in the 3 weeks that we have been off, we are already noticing several cell phones being shut off because parents just don't have a way. Like that's one of the first things to go. Right. Mm-hmm. And so for us then to get in contact with them is so hard and we can't support them because there's just, you know, they don't have internet at home and now their cell phones have been shut off. And so you're kind of left in this weird gray area of how do we engage these families when, you know, we can't go door to door.
Right.
Because we can't be within 6 feet of people. Right. And so it just, you know, opens up this whole can of worms and just really, really highlighting the discrepancies between, gosh, I live in Perrysburg, which is 10, 20 minutes from Toledo. And just the difference in, you know, those 20 minutes is incredible.
Yeah. What feels hardest to you right now as a mom? And that could be something right in your own home or something a bigger, more global hard.
You know, I think for me, I mean, I have like the daily hards, you know, I've definitely had my share of breaking down on my husband at the end of the day and just like, I can't do all of the things. But I think what feels especially hard is I'll find myself kind of spiraling out and thinking about the long-term ramifications for some of my students. because this isn't just going to affect them this school year.
Right.
So many of my kids are already 2-3 grade levels behind. And now we're looking at missing an entire semester of learning. Like this is going to affect them all the way through high school graduation.
Yeah.
I mean, dropout rates are going to explode in the next few years because kids just aren't going to be able to keep up once they return. And so I find myself really spiraling, you know, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much I can do. There's only so much our organization can do. You know, we're posting videos, we're trying to create a virtual academy, but I mean, education is meant to be a very intimate relationship between a teacher and a student, and we've lost that.
Yeah.
And so it's just hard to think through what this is going to mean for our kids in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. Well, what feels hopeful to you? You mentioned, I mean, I was getting chills when you talked about the educators stepping up. And so I'd love to hear what else have you seen that feels like something like hope?
Yeah, I think there's so many helpers, right? Like it's incredible to see the amount of people stepping up to help.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine being in the classroom right now. You know, I'm 8 years removed from actually being an educator. And I see, you know, my son's kindergarten teacher and my middle son's preschool teacher hopping on and doing Zoom meetings mm-hmm. with their classes, which is like incredibly adorable. And also like so much noise for my brain. It's like holding up their shoes and like just the most insane things with 23-year-olds on a screen. But I just feel like if anything is going to come from this, it's like the world feels a lot smaller now somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're all really seeing the discrepancies in school funding and things of that nature. I feel like we're all really understanding the challenges faced by educators right now. I feel like we're all just working so hard to remain together, even though we're alone,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I just, you know, my little one's birthday is coming up and the neighbors asked, like, can we decorate the sidewalks in chalk for him for his birthday? Like, just like little tiny things that maybe would not have happened 4 months ago, but like are happening now because people do care. And like, it's just, you know, I think I hate to say that a global pandemic has like brought things to a better place, but I really do feel like people are just working a lot harder to be kind right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to support each other. And I just think that's incredibly hopeful.
Yeah, I agree. Is there anything that you wish moms understood or people understood that maybe you're getting a unique view of because of your job?
I think so. The background of my computer says you can do anything well, but you cannot do everything well.
Mm.
And that's just something that like I have to tell myself every single day, because right now it feels like we're actually being asked to do everything well, right?
Yeah.
Like my kid needs his kindergarten sight words. My preschooler needs to know his letters. My students need to know we care, you know, and my husband's working from home in his closet office upstairs. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, we can do so much, you know, we can do the hard things, but we cannot do all of the hard things on our own well. And I just think that it's so important to remember, you know, even I get caught up in like the daily, like we get a 2-page lesson plan every day and day I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to accomplish all this? But then I'm like, you know what? You know, we went outside and my oldest found a bug and we talked about the bug. And like, it's so important to focus right now on the whole child and, you know, ways that we can teach empathy and compassion. And like those other skills are going to come, for the majority of our students. And so just remembering that, you know, they're experiencing this too in a very different way. And that might be, you know, you might see more behaviors, you might, you know, see your child withdraw, they might be more tired, but like they are experiencing these huge emotions and they can't understand it. And they don't have like, you know, I'm text complaining my friends at night, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to sell my children. And like, they don't have that outlet because, you know, we're that outlet.
Yeah.
And so when they start misbehaving, like that is why.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, remembering that and trying to have grace and just remembering that, I think that's a hard thing to remember.
It is. 100% agree though. Especially when it comes to what you talked about with just kind of the whole child and that academic skills are such a finite, I don't want to say small because they're important, but they're such a relatively finite piece of the whole puzzle. And especially those of us with resources like internet and books and education, you know, in our families, we have a privilege, I believe, of thinking about that whole child and maybe even easing up the pedal on some of the academic skills while we care for them in this time. And not all families are in that position. And as you said, some kids are going to fall further behind because of this. But I appreciate you shedding the light on all of that. So Casey, thank you so much for everything you shared today. And we're just sending good thoughts to you and your family and your program and all the kids that you serve.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It was an absolute pleasure.
Sarah, the stories we've been hearing and sharing as part of this special pandemic perspective series are so important, and they've really got me thinking about ways to help and make an impact. I know that right now our listeners are also eager to make a difference, so we're excited to share a great opportunity from our friends at Crisis Text Line.
Yes. So Crisis Text Line offers 24/7 support from trained crisis counselors, all delivered via text to people in crisis. As you can imagine, our current national situation with people stuck at home and sometimes in unsafe or unhealthy situations, it's really created a huge demand for extra mental health support.
Crisis Text Line is responding to that need by building up its base of volunteer crisis counselors, and this could be a perfect opportunity for you. You don't have to have any particular education or work background to apply, just a desire to help out and empathy, which we know our listeners have so much of. Oh yeah, and you'll also need a strong Wi-Fi signal.
You can do this important work during nap time, after the kids are in bed, or before they get up in the morning. You can do it in your pajamas, on the sofa, wherever you are, and whatever your home life situation, Crisis Text Line can accommodate you as a volunteer. Crisis Text Line provides all the training you'll need to turn your desire to help into the skills and knowledge you need to make a difference. It's actually 30 hours of training, so it's a big commitment, but you can be confident that you'll have the tools and information you need to do the work.
This is such a great way to make a difference right now when we know so many of you are feeling helpless because you're stuck at home. Just go to themomhour.com/CTL. Even if you can't get started right now, it's a good idea to go through the application and training process because we know the mental health impact of COVID-19 is going to last for some time. Applying to become a crisis counselor is a great way to start the ball rolling on a volunteer opportunity that could be really rewarding and impactful now and in the future.
And if you're having a hard time right now and you need some help, you can also get support right now. Text GO to 741-741 and you'll be connected to a trained crisis counselor. It usually takes less than 5 minutes to connect with someone who can provide a listening ear. You don't have to be in a dire situation to reach out. Crisis Text Line really is for any situation where you need some extra help and support.
Again, if you're interested in applying to become a crisis counselor, go to themomhour.com/CTL to get started. Or if you could use some support yourself, text GO to 741-741 and you'll be matched with a counselor of your own. Again, that's themomhour.com/CTL to apply to become a volunteer crisis counselor, or you can text GO to 741-741 to be connected with a crisis counselor. Hey everyone, this is Megan and you're listening to Pandemic Perspectives on the Mom Hour. Today, I'm talking with Megan, a mom of three from Montana. Megan, tell us about you and your family, including your kids' ages and what you do for a living.
Okay, I was born and raised in rural Montana. We have pigs, cows, a horse, and a dog, and a little area with plenty of room for us to spread out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I have three little girls, ages 8, 7, and 2.5.
Wow, okay. Your hands are full at the moment, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So my husband works in agriculture, so he is typically all over the place with travel and working from home just on any given day. So it's really unpredictable. Well, not unpredictable. It's more seasonal for him as far as his busy, slow seasons with his job.
Okay.
And for myself, So I was a public school teacher in Montana schools for 8 years, and right now I am a online teacher. I teach students in China how to speak English through an online learning platform.
Wow. Okay. So I think this is fascinating because you have been in touch with people in China where this was all unfolding much earlier than it was with us. So tell us a little bit about that. What's that been like?
Yeah, exactly. So I started seeing a huge change starting in January. And I do have a very personal connection with my students and their families. We interact not only face-to-face over the internet, but also through the Chinese social media platform called WeChat. So we've developed a very close relationship over the past few years. And when coronavirus hit China in January, things changed dramatically as far as my demand as an online teacher. So students were at home just like they are now in the United States. So they all of a sudden could start taking classes during different times of the day, and they wanted to start taking more classes. So the demand for my classes increased during that time. And now we're just starting to see a little bit of a shift where they're starting to get back into schools. They're starting to be able to go outside more. So that increase is finally going back to more level for what we're typically used to this time of year as online teachers.
Wow.
Yeah. The families have been able to kind of keep me up to date on the restrictions that their government put into place as far as staying home, quarantining, that kind of thing. So I kind of saw where this was headed. I never knew how it was going to impact us, but I knew if it did impact us, kind of what our life could possibly look like with school cancellations, staying at home for hours and hours and days and days and now weeks, with the kids not being able to go to the playgrounds and the parks and things like that.
Do you think it's paralleling what happened in China, like the timeline and kind of the progression? Does it feel like you're kind of living through exactly what you saw your students living through several months ago?
I think so, because the social media part of it has been really interesting, because on the Chinese social media, they were posting things that they were trying to come up with fun ways to keep their kids busy. And then now we're looking at our social media with Facebook, Instagram, and you're seeing the exact same thing, the videos of people, stacking up toilet paper in their house and thinking that it's a kind of a funny joke, but being serious, like, this is how you can keep your kids busy. And there was another a stream of posts where the adults were trying to come up with creative ways to stay fit within their homes, or at least in their neighborhoods. So that, again, Instagram and Facebook are just full of home workouts and ways to stay active while we're during social distancing. So in that regard, I am definitely seeing some parallels.
I can imagine. So what are the biggest ways that your life looks really different now than it did, say, a month ago?
Well, I mean, my kids are home. So as far as the workload goes, it's typically when my kids are at school, I'm sleeping because of the time change, we are like 12 hours different. So I am teaching super early morning hours, like 3 a.m. And then I get my kids to school. Once they're at school, I can sleep. And that is how my daily schedule looks like. However, now I can't do that because my own kids are home and I need to, help with the distant learning thing. And I don't have that time to rest, or I don't have that time now to teach because I need to rest. So I have to find that balance. I am an independent contractor, so I have that ability to pull back on my schedule if I need to. But then again, I'm also relying on that income for my family. So it's really been a struggle trying to find the balance, having my kids home during the day. I think we're all kind of seeing the same struggles. I'm seeing a lot of up and down with all of us and trying to figure out, well, how do I keep the toddler busy while the first and second grader are doing their math homework? Mm. And it's just like all of the balls in the air trying to figure out, how do I catch them all at the same time?
Yeah. And I imagine for you, it would almost be sometimes a little more frustrating because you have this great, sounds like all this wide open space and animals and things like, mm-hmm. it would be nice if the kids could just go run outside and play, but that's not reality of life because they still have schooling to do.
Oh, it is really frustrating. It really is. And my husband too, he's in agriculture, and right now agriculture is still needed. It's still very, very essential. And we're going right into spring planting season. So it is a very busy time for him. So we can't
right.
just make this an extended vacation.
Right.
Like we would like.
It's just like a big tease. Like you feel like it feels a little bit like a long summer break, but it's not, because life goes on and there's things to do. So that sounds really hard. What else is hard in your life right now?
Just new routines, new demands. The pressure I've put on myself as an educator is out of this world. Mm. I feel a lot of pressure just to be doing this really thorough job of all the educator jargon that's going around in my mind, like making sure their standards are met and making sure that they are reaching all of their proficiency levels, and that's not fair. And this is all put on by myself. But then you also add in Facebook and Instagram and all of the things that we are seeing online, that moms just pushing things out there and painting a picture that looks really nice, but that's not reality. It's just a snapshot. It's just a glimpse into. It's a highlight reel,
right?
I guess,
exactly.
For better terms there, and trying to live up to that highlight reel. And I've noticed I do better when I turn off the social media and I just focus on what's happening around me.
That's good. And I think that's a lesson we've all kind of had to learn. And we're just a few weeks in now, so hopefully we're all kind of realizing that we can only do what we can only do, and that it's not really fair for us to expect to do suddenly three jobs in the time that you did one before,
exactly.
Or three at once. So what feels hopeful right now?
I'm hopeful because of my friends in China. Because going back to what we were talking about earlier with the parallels, I can now see that life is starting to return back to, being able to get outside and going to the parks and getting fresh air. Through my friends in China. When I think of China, I don't see a country. I see my students, Vicky, I see Sky, and I see their families. And because of that personal connection, they've been able to share with me things will return back to normal. I don't think they'll ever be the same. I definitely think our world has changed because of this, but you know, they can pass on helpful advice. They are very encouraging to me. I started out in January. I ended up sending them some of the N45 or N95 masks because of the shortage there. And now it is completely flipped, where they are sending me some of these surgical masks, and I can distribute that to some of the healthcare facilities here in Montana. And so I'm seeing relationships grow because of it. And I'm seeing that although it doesn't seem like this is ever going to end, it will.
Yeah. I love that. What do you wish other moms or just listeners in general knew and understood about, how this is impacting you and maybe also your students? Just something that they could take away from this interview.
Well, I think that as moms, we like to be prepared. And I am definitely in that group of just, I feel like I can prepare for the worst case scenario. But that being said, even though I had the perspective of seeing this all unfold in front of me before it reached the United States through my connections in China, I still have not, could not have prepared myself for our current reality. There is nothing that, no information, no personal connections. There's absolutely no education. I mean, I'm an educator, but I still don't know what I'm doing with my own kids and their homeschooling. You know, there's just absolutely nothing that could have prepared me for this. It's just a daily parenting and schooling struggle. And I think we're all in it. And just to give ourselves grace and give each other grace for those struggles. And there is just no preparing us for it, no matter what.
No matter how much, how many disinfecting wipes and toilet paper you had, there's a whole nother level of learning that we're all in and things coming up that we couldn't have ever anticipated. So yeah, those are wise words. Well, thank you so much, Megan, for sharing your perspective and for being on the Mom Hour.
We have so enjoyed getting to know so many of you and hearing your stories for this series. It's just really eye-opening to get a sense of how this is all playing out in different families and careers and communities across the United States and beyond.
Yes, and if you've been listening along and thinking, oh, I wish they'd done a story that reflects my experience, here's your chance. We're still looking for guests to be interviewed as a part of the series over the next few weeks, and we would love to share your story.
In particular, we're still looking for stories of small business owners and employees, retail, restaurant, hospitality, service businesses, people whose livelihoods have been interrupted and will continue to be impacted by COVID-19. If that's you, or if you have another story you'd love to share with us, please visit themomhour.com/perspectives to fill out a short form letting us know more about your story, and we'll be in touch. Again, that's themomhour.com/perspectives to let us know how COVID-19 is impacting you, your family, your business, and your community. We hope to hear from you soon. Hey, everyone, this is Sarah, and you're listening to Pandemic Perspectives on the Mom Hour. Today, I'm talking with Jamie, a mom from North Carolina who is pregnant with her second baby. So, Jamie, thanks for being here, and tell us about you and your family, including what you and your wife do for a living.
Sure. I live in a suburb just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. My wife, Amanda, and I live here with our newly two-year-old son. He turned two in January. And as Sarah just said, we've got baby number two, a baby girl due early in June. Yeah, so I am a nurse by trade, but I've been a stay-at-home mom since our son was born a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And Amanda is a medical oncologist. So she treats primarily breast cancer patients, but sees all the different types of malignancies and then sees hematologic disorders and stuff too.
And does that put her in a hospital setting most days or some kind of a clinic or a little bit of both?
Yeah, good question. So she is in the clinic most of the time. She does hospital rotations throughout the year. Her whole practice sort of rotates through because they have to take care of their patients who get sick enough to be admitted. Mm-hmm. But by and large, the majority of her work is in the clinic.
And what kind of nursing were you doing before you transitioned home a couple years ago?
Yeah, so I worked on an adult bone marrow transplant and hematologic malignancy floor. So all the leukemias, lymphomas, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And that is where Amanda and I met. So we met, she was a fellow mm-hmm. in training and I was a nurse, and it's a good old Grey's Anatomy story.
I love that. I love that. So I guess I would love to hear you talk a little bit about both as the partner of a healthcare worker and a pregnant expecting mom, a mom of a toddler, all these hats that you're wearing, mm-hmm. How does life feel different today than it did a month ago?
I would say in some ways I'm pretty lucky. There are a lot of parts of my life that haven't changed. So I've been a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. and my wife was going to work every day, mm-hmm. and that is all the exact same, mm-hmm. which is in a lot of ways really nice. My life hasn't been completely uprooted by now having a spouse working at home mm-hmm. or me having to work at home, et cetera. But it feels so different. I would say probably the biggest thing that has just totally uprooted me and got me a little bit off the hinges is just this fear of sending Amanda to work mm-hmm. every single day, mm-hmm. you know, and not something I've ever experienced as a nurse, not something I've ever experienced as a wife of sending her off. Usually it's like, okay, hit the road, you yeah. know, we're here, we're going to do our thing. Yeah. So we'll see you tonight. And I find myself here thinking, oh my gosh, if I could just do something to keep her from having to go to mm-hmm. work, if I could do anything for her to be able to work from home right now. And it's a ridiculous thought because it's not an option,
yeah.
you know? But that's the thing that I think has just totally thrown me for a loop.
Yeah. Is Amanda able to kind of share with you what precautions they're taking at work? Are you able, because you obviously have experience being a healthcare worker and you can at least picture what mm-hmm. it's like when she sure. goes. Are you somebody that's helped or reassured by that kind of information? Is she kind of keeping you in the loop? Like, look, honey, here are the precautions we're taking, right. or is this happening at such a gut level that doesn't help?
So I would say in every other situation, that would probably help. My biggest issue with that right now is, and this is not like aimed at anyone, but no one knows what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I love science. I love evidence. In every other situation, if you handed me a study that said X, Y, and Z will prevent this, I would say, golden, go to work. We'll see you later. Mm-hmm. You know, like I would feel way better. But we just don't know.
Yeah.
So here's a prime example. By the end of last week, she was pretty frustrated because she wanted to wear a mask in clinic to protect herself, mm-hmm. to protect us, and protect her patients. You know, she comes mm-hmm. into contact with one patient and then she's seen 12 other people sure. that day, trying to just protect the people that she's coming into contact with. And the system said that she was not allowed to wear a mask, and none of the providers, not her specifically, were not allowed to wear masks because it would cause fear for the patients, which of course, I mean, we totally get that is a reasonable thing and we don't want to incite fear. But at the same time, you know, we need to protect the people. We need to protect, you know, everyone. Well, this morning, literally, she got an email that said all providers will be wearing masks.
Yeah.
And so it's while this is a really long answer to your question,
okay.
but while I would normally say like, yeah, the evidence, the precautions in every other situation would make me feel better, it's not right
yeah.
now just because it's ever changing.
Yeah.
And I get we are trying as hard as we can to figure out what's best in the moment that we're in. But the constant change yeah. is tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that's actually a really good example. And even as someone who's not working in healthcare, I can relate because I feel like even as a regular person and a consumer and a just a human, I feel like recommendations about all kinds of things have changed often
yeah, exactly.
In the last month. So that can just be really unnerving.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything that feels really different on the pregnancy front? How you're getting, are you third trimester now?
So yeah, I'm third trimester. I'm 32 weeks. And I would say it's, I think the CDC's latest recommendation. Here we go. The latest recommendation. Yeah.
And again, Megan
we'll
and I
talk
keep
again
saying,
tomorrow.
Yeah, Megan and I keep like needing to say what day this is that we're recording, which we've never right. done. But okay. for the record, this is so April 7th. That
yeah,
we're talking.
Exactly. So as far as I know, right now at 1:30 Eastern time, the recommendation is that if a pregnant mom was positive with COVID, she would be separated from her baby for 2 weeks after delivery. And when I heard that, oh my gosh. I mean, I was like, nope, we need to be doing all of yeah. the precautions. I was just sort of beside myself.
Anecdotally, my sister had an acquaintance that just went through that. Everyone is fine, but the mom was diagnosed a couple days after birth and spent 2 weeks away from her first newborn.
I just can't even wrap my head around it right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, all of that has been stressful for sure. I'm such a planner, so I would love to look ahead and try to be like, this will all be improved, you know, by the time this baby comes. I do have hopefully 8-ish weeks, but I'm not 100% certain.
Yeah.
I've almost had to kind of push the pregnancy fears down and just kind of say, this will be what it is.
Yeah.
I cannot look so far into the future. I have to live in the moment we're in right now. So that, I don't know if that's effective coping, but that is my current coping strategy.
It is coping, and therefore it is effective right now. Well, you've touched on a few things, but is there one thing that feels particularly hard right now in this season?
I would say probably, just as I said, you know, I'm not worried about the future. Here we go. I'm about to go down the path of being worried about the future. Amanda's due to go to the hospital in 2 weeks. And I think that is sort of wearing on us, the concern about what that's going to look like. Our son is, I'm trying to think of a good word for this, but he is yes, he is two, and he loves his mama. I'm mom, she's mama, and he loves his mama more than anything in this world.
Yeah.
And we have talked about potentially quarantining her. My parents have a trailer, and we thought about, not thought about, we're still discussing the idea of her staying in the trailer while she's on service for that week. And if she does come in contact, potentially extending that longer. And the thought of trying to keep him away from her is really overwhelming because, I mean, he likes me enough, but like, I'm just generally less fun than she is.
Yeah.
And so it, and he knows she's gone now. Yeah. Like he has reached the age where it's not out of sight, out of mind.
Right, sure.
I mean, he knows that mama comes home in the evening. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's the thing that I am spending some time feeling concerned about, is the fact that potentially due to my wife's career, she will need to quarantine.
Yeah.
Away from us, and we haven't made any decisions. I think we are just going to have to see how it all plays out and what all three of us can handle.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, that's big. I can see how that would feel hard. What feels hopeful, or what is bringing you hope right now? We're asking everybody this question. It can be anything, anything small or big, but I'd love to hear what people are finding hope in.
Gosh, I can think of a few things. Like, I'll give you a couple here. I've been really moved by the support of healthcare providers as a whole. I think, you know, nurses, so every year they do these Gallup polls where nurses are often voted like the most trusted profession. It's an interesting thing, but if they're not the most trusted, then they're the second or third most trusted profession. And I think nurses tend to have a pretty good rap in the world. However, I've been just so moved by all of the different people that are sort of being recognized for their efforts in the healthcare world, respiratory therapists, the dietary, housekeeping, everyone who kind of makes that ship run, I think is sort of in the highlight right now. And I think that's really important. I hope that's something we kind of carry over.
Yeah.
I'd say the other thing that really, on a more personal level, I would say that's probably a little bit broad, maybe on a more personal level, I've been really pleased with how simple my life can be over the last 3 weeks. And that gives me a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
I mean, Amanda and I are goers. Like, we don't, there's always something to do, something to be done. We don't slow down. And that is not necessarily a good thing by any means. And this forced slowing, I think, has made both of us feel kind of good. I feel like our relationship's been stronger than before. I feel like our family unit's just been really, really tight mm-hmm. due to all of this. And I would love to see that sort of simplicity carry over also.
Yeah, I love that. I love both those observations. Is there anything you wish that other moms or other humans understood or that you think maybe isn't seeing the light as much that you feel like you'd like to share?
My goal in general is to always just try to keep as open of a mind as possible. And I feel like moms, humans in general, I think during this time, it can be easy to kind of get sucked into our own situation. Mm-hmm. And I do wish for both myself and for everyone that we can really try to take a step back and see that everyone is struggling for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. Everyone's personal stress is absolutely justified, even if we can't understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are people who have lost jobs. Mm-hmm. There are people who are like in crisis mode mm-hmm. over losing their businesses. I mean, homeschooling, like I think to myself every day, thank goodness I don't have to homeschool my child. And I still have a kid who naps.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is a beautiful thing. And there are people battling just so many different things.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's something that I've just been really focusing on.
Yeah.
Something I guess I'd urge other people to do. And I know not everyone's looking for the silver lining. Sometimes
right.
it's okay to just be where you're at and yeah. be frustrated. Absolutely.
And it can change within the day. You can have yes. a day where you just need to wallow in your own crappy situation, even as
absolutely.
You know that it's relatively like from a huge place of privilege, but sometimes mm-hmm. you need a day, and then other days you can have that
right.
zoomed out perspective.
I completely agree.
I think we yeah. have to allow for all parts of that experience, mm-hmm. Because
for
it's
sure.
very hard to get to the altruistic, empathetic place if you don't give yourself the time and space to also be bummed that, you know, you're missing a girl's weekend or whatever.
Absolutely. So I couldn't agree more.
Oh, sure. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you
all
so
this.
Much for having us.
And
I'm eager to hear
yes.
the outcomes of this.
Yes, we've got
we
a lot of great
it.
Stories to share, and give Amanda awesome. Our best. And thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you're listening, and that way you'll get notified when our new episodes drop. Both the regular parenting and motherhood topics you're used to hearing from the Mom Hour, as well as this special series.
Also, if you're enjoying our podcast episodes during this time, we'd so appreciate your support in the form of a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Ratings and reviews help others find the show, and they help us continue to grow so we can reach more moms.
We'll be back with you on Tuesday with another all-new episode of the Mom Hour. Talk to you then.